Good morning, good morning, everybody. Today's Daf Menachos is Mem Zayin. We start today in the very top of the Amud, the very first words, Tanur Rabbanan, and we begin today with a brisa. We've learned over the last couple of days of the Daf, Mem Hei En and Mem Vav. The Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos, it's a mincha offering. The Torah actually refers to it as a mincha, but it's not a typical mincha. It's a yantav mincha. It's not an individual mincha. It's not brought by an individual. And what makes it so unusual is its connection to the Kivsa Atzeres. There are two lambs that are brought on Shavuos, which are Shamet Sibur, which are intrinsically linked to the Shtei Halacha. So we already talked in the last couple of days that there are numerous kabbalists that are offered on Shavuos that are connected to the Shtei Alechem. As we already discussed extensively, there are two parshas in the Torah, one in Pinchas and the other in Emor. And the kabbalists mentioned in parshas Pinchas, that's your classic kabbalah musafs that are brought on Shavuos. As like every other yantiv, where you go to shul on yantiv and you hear maftir. So what we're doing is we're reading from parshas Pinchas and we're reading about the maftir. Sorry, we're reading about the musafim. But when it comes to Shavuos, however, in Parshas Emor, where in Parshas Emor we typically don't speak out the specific karbanos that are brought on every one of the yontifs. We don't talk about the musafim. The Torah just simply says you're going to bring karbanos. In terms of which karbanos you bring, so see Parshas Pinchas. But when it comes to Shavuos, so the Torah gives the complement of karbanos that one is to bring. That's brought in conjunction to Shtei Alechem. And as we learned over the last couple of days of the Naf, that's separate of the Musafim that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. There are a couple of clues in the Parshas themselves, in the Karbanos itself. This is so, but we know this is so. The Gemara has been discussing that extensively the last couple of days. However, being that there still are a complement of Karbanos that are brought in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem, but none of those karbanos are as connected, are as linked to the Shtei Alechem as the Kivsei Atzeres, as the two lambs out of the Shamit Sibor. We know, we already discussed that there's a mitzvah of tenufa, of waving the Shtei Alechem together with the Kivsei Atzeres, and we also know that once you shecht the Kivsei Atzeres, so that creates a zika, that creates now a link, a bond between the Kivsei Atzeres and the Shtei Alechem, where if now after Shechita, if something happens to one, something wrong happens to one, so then we have to discard the others as well. So that is what we've been discussing the last couple of days. And now, Daf Mem Zayin, more of this discussion. We start with a brice on the top of the Amud. Tanur Rabbanan, Kivsei Atzeres Mekachin Aslechem, Ela B'Shechita. So when it comes to the Kivsei Atzeres, so they are only going to imbue Kedusha into the Lechem, only with Shechita. Imbuing Kedusha into the Lechem, so we're talking here about Kedusha Saguf. Kedusha Saguf, so that means to say that the that there are two things now regarding the Shtei Alechem. One is that now it has the status of Shtei Alechem, where it can be eaten by the Kohanim. And two is that it has Kedusha Saguf, meaning when we talk about a karban, or we talk about kashrim in general, we generally categorize it into two various categories. One is Kedusha Damim, where it has sanctity, but it does not have intrinsic sanctity. And if you want to redeem it, you can. Or Kedusha Saguf, where it has sanctity and the sanctity is intrinsic. Generally speaking, a karban is Kedusha Saguf. Right, you sanctify an animal as a karban, you consecrate an animal as a karban, so that's it. It has Kedusha Saguf, it can't be redeemed. So that means to say now that when you shech the Kivsei Atzeres, so the Shtei Alechem now are imbued with this Kedusha Saguf, and it now becomes a non-redeemable item. So the beginning of the Braisa basically makes this point very clear. Kivsei Atzeres Mekachem Asalechem Ela B'Shechita Ketzad, Shachnu L'Shman V'Zarek Damun L'Shman Kidesh Alechem. So the Braisa opens up over here with a really simple and straightforward scenario where you do everything correctly. You shecht the Kivsei Atzeres, you do the Zrikas Adam of the Kivsei Atzeres, and you do both of them Lishman with the correct intent. So under those circumstances, now the Lechem is imbued with Kedusha Saguf. Okay. Now what the Braisa is going to take us now through is what happens if I do something Shelo Lishman. So let's say, for example, says the Braisa, Shachtan Shelo Lishman V'Zarek Dam Shelo Lishman. So in the first example of the Braisa, you do everything wrong. Cohen, when shechting, has a machshava shelo lishman, wrong carbon in mind, and then when doing the zrika, also shelo lishma. With the sprinkling the blood, also wrong carbon in mind. So lo kiddush alechem. So under these circumstances, now the bread is not imbued with kedusha, and therefore the bread can be redeemed. Shechting lishman v'zarek dam shelo lishman. So now, let's say you do the shechita, and you do the shechita correctly. But when it comes to Zrikas Adam was done incorrectly. So here, you did the shechita right. What now becomes of the bread? Halachim Kosh Reina Kosh Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe takes the position where the bread is somewhat imbued with Kedusha, but not totally. That needs clarification. We're going to get clarification in just a little bit. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Amar La'olam Einu Kadosh Ha'ishcha L'shman V'zok Damam L'shman. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says that when is the bread going to be imbued with Kedusha Seguf? That's only when everything is done correctly. Shechita and Zrika are both done L'shman. Then and only then is the bread going to be imbued with Kedusha Seguf. Now, my time at the Rebbe Dichziv. So the Gemara now wants to go over the respective positions. So for as far as Rebbe's concerned, even though at this juncture, at this point in time, we're not even totally sure what Rebbe meant. But still, Rebbe says that if a shechita, just a shechita, was done l'shman, so the bread's going to be imbued with some level, some degree of Kedusha. So the reason why, Dichziv, as Ayah says, Zevach Shamim L'Hashem, Al Salam Matzos. So again, we go back to the psukim. The aisle will be done. Now, these psukim, by the way, are not in reference to the shtei alechem, but still, the point is going to be the same. When you have a karban that is connected with lechem, with bread, happens to be over here, we're talking about the karbanos of the nazir, but the aisle, yaseh zevach shamim l'Hashem al salam atzos l'memra, d'shchita mekadosha. So if you get the center in the pasuk over here, that once you shecht the carbon of the nazir, so then the bread is going to be imbued with kedusha, and you just need a good shechita. Now, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, yaseh ach yaseh kol asios, asiosav. As far as Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, I'll look at the same pasuk, but walk away with a different conclusion. The word yaseh gives the indication that not only does the asiyah of shechita need to be done correctly, but all the asiyos need to be done correctly, which means not only the shechita but the zrika as well. Rebbe Nami aksiv yaseh. So iksiv zevach yaseh kedekamar. Now Rebbe would have conceded the point if the Torah would have said the word zevach yaseh. So then that would give the indication that all the asiyos need to be done because zevach is first, which means that's just a detail. Yaseh means that all has to be done. And if that were the construct of the pasuk, so then Rebbe would concede. But hash dichsiv yaseh zevach. So kama, I'm sorry, bema yaseh bezvicha. But it says yaseh zevach. Kind of like a klalu prat. First, the generic statement of yaseh, but then the specific example of zvicha, of shechting. So that means to say that shechting is imbuing it with kedusha. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, haksiv zevach. So now, according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, it does say the word zevach, which again, according to him, a bread is only imbued with kedusha. The shtei alechem only has kedusha saguf only when you do the shechita and the zrika l'shma. So how am we by lelichad Rabbi Yochanan, Dam Rabbi Yochanan? So as far as that's concerned, he says I have a different halacha that I learned from that. Notably, how komonu shetzarch shei lechem b'shach shechita. The lechem has to be present at the time of shechita. Meaning, here's what you can't do. You can't shech the shtei alechem and then all of a sudden realize, oh yeah, the shtei alechem, right? The two loaves of bread. So quickly now we go and we get the shtei alechem. That's unacceptable. Meaning the shtei halechem has to be present, has to actually be there at the time of shechita. That's what Rebbe learns out from the pasuk. Okay. So adkan divrei ha-gemara regarding the various sources of the position of Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. So again, let's just quickly recap. If you shech the kifsei atzeres with lishman, but you sprinkle the blood shel lishman, so Rebbe says that the bread is imbued with some kedusha sagov. Now that, again, like I said a moment ago, that needs clarification. Some kedusha sagov. Okay, what does that mean? Stay tuned. And according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, no, the bread does not have kedusha sagov. It has kedusha stamim. It can be redeemed, but it does not have kedusha sagov. And right now we went over the sources of the two positions, the respective positions, and what we're left to do right now is explain the opinion of Rebbe. Some kedusha sagov. So my kadosh v'enu kadosh. So the Gemara now is going to give. The Gemara is going to give a machlokis amongst the Amoraim exactly what Rebbe means. Abai Amar, Kadosh Veinu Gamor. So Abai is of the opinion that it has Kedusha, but it's not complete Kedusha. And Rava Amar, Kadosh Veinu Nitar. And Rava is of the opinion that it's Kadosh, but it's not Nitar, it's not permitted. We're not allowed to eat it. Meaning it's imbued with Kedusha, it's a goof, but we're just simply, the Kohanim, we're simply not allowed to eat it because the Zrika was not done the Shema. Now, as you hear those two approaches of Rava and Abaye, you're probably wondering, it sounds awfully similar to one another. My Beinayu, the Gemara, wants to know exactly that. Meaning there obviously has to be a difference between Abai and Rava because they're arguing. But what's this argument about? Ika Beinayu, so the Gemara says the argument is about Lemitfas Pijono, meaning whether or not we can redeem it or not. Now in the Gemara right now, the next line of Gemara, so Rashi really struggles with this next line of Gemara. In our Gemara, we have the words La Abaye lo tafis pidgino, L'Rava tafis pidgino. According to Abaye, so there will not be an ability to be poda, to redeem it, and according to Rava, there will. So after Rashi tries to explain this line of Gemara the way we have presented in our Gemara, Rashi concedes that this is really difficult to explain it in the manner that we have in the Gemara. See the beginning of Rashi where he really tries, he makes an attempt. But after a while, Rashi finally says, you know what? The Girsa that we have in our Gemara is probably not correct. And Rashi writes, that I'm reading now from the last short line of Rashi. L'fichach nirli d'hachri garsina v'loshan hagonhu. So I'm going to give a pshat now in the Gemara based on just one adjustment in the Girsa of the Gemara. The Abaye tafis pidgino. Or basically what Rashi now is going to do is he's going to reverse the positions that we have in the Gemara. For Abaye, there will be an ability to redeem. And L'Rav lo tafis pidgino. L'Abaye damrei no gamara adayin lo chala alav kedushas gov gemura. So according to Abaye, here's what Rebbe's position is. You did the shechita l'shma. Now you did not do the zrika l'shma. So how much kedushas gov does it have? Again, I'm going to say it. But now I'm going to give it some teeth. So it's going to be a little bit of kedushas gov. Not full kedusha sagov, v'akati shayach bei pidgin, meaning to the extent now where you could still redeem it. When he the kedusha shechita b'miksas, now it's true the shechita gave it imbued it with a little bit of kedusha. Delo nafik lechulin, umi akati mechusar gemar kedusha v'shayach bei kedushas damim litfos pidgino b'kedusha. The way Rashi seems to suggest this, seems to explain it as follows, and that is that if you try to redeem it, the Kedusha is going to transfer over to the money. Not to the extent in which now the Shtei Alechem are going to be lechulin, gone totally lechulin, become totally unconsecrated, but still the money is going to be imbued with Kedusha. L'Rava, Damar Kadosh Gamor, Kedusha Zagov, L'Shach Be'Pidjon, Mim Hitfas Maus Be'Pidjono, Ein Nitfasin, Dekevin Dein Yotze, Mekdusha's Klal, Eino, I'm sorry, Eze Kedusha, Tacho Be'Pidjono. Whereas, according to the way Rav is explaining it, when you are shechting at Lashma, so you have now just imbued the Shtei Alechem with the Kedusha Sagov. Now, the Kohanim can't eat it, and the consumption of the Shtei Alechem will not be allowed until Zrika is done correctly. But it's imbued with Kedusha Sagov. Therefore, even an attempt to try to transfer that Kedusha into money does not work at all. The money simply will not have a redeemed effect to it, and so therefore it's just the money is nothing happened with the money you attempted to redeem it with. Okay, fine. So basically, two opinions amongst the Amoraim exactly what Rebbe meant when Rebbe says Kaddish Veinu Kaddish. Now Bishlam al Rava Ahinu Diika Bein Rava Bein Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Bein Rebbe La Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Now, according to Rava, actually works out good, meaning that what we have now is a real difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Meaning that according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, it does not have Kedusha Sagov, and according to Rebbe, it does have Kedusha Sagov. But Elala Abaye Ma'ika Bein Rebbe La Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. But according to Abaye's understanding of Rebbe, it comes out now that according to Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, it sounds awfully similar to one another. Meaning according to both, it does not have full Kedusha Sagov. And they're both making both Tanaim now are saying the same thing. So Ika ben Azar, the Gemara says, no, even according to Abaye, there still will be a halachic difference between the two positions. Ika ben Azar, still be Yosei. Will it become disqualified through the psul of Yosei? According to Rabbi, if the Shtei Alechem were to be taken out, so im yasa, lo ye kashal eschod alav kvasim acherim. So that's it now. You can't bring another pair of kivsei atzeres and shecht it over this bread. And according to Rabbi Lazar, lo mifsal b'yotze. Where according to Rabbi Lazar, it does not become disqualified if it's taken out of the Azara. Shelo yard la kedusha seguf, ela kedusha damim, v'in yotze posa ba, v'in yotze posa ba, uksherim l'shchot ala kvasim achem, says Rashi. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, if the Shtei Alechem were taken out, because it doesn't have kedusha seguf, the psul of yotze, which only affects a carbon with kedusha seguf, will not affect this particular Shtei Alechem because it's not imbued with Kedusha Sagov. Okay, Adkan. So basically now, a discussion in the Gemara, the entirety of Gemara's daf today is dedicated to what happens if you shecht the Kifzei Yetzeres Lushman, but the Zrika is not done Shalal Lushman. What we're learning together is that under such circumstances, the Shtei Alechem is imbued with Kedusha, but not full Kedusha, partial Kedusha. How much partial Kedusha are we talking about? So according to Rebbe, it has partial Kedusha, but partial Kedusha is a goof. According to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, it has no Kedusha. And what did Rebbe mean when he said partial Kedusha Seguf? Machlokes between Abai and Rava. The Gemara first seek to understand the difference between Abai and Rava, and then the Gemara seek to understand that according to Abaye, what then is the real difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon? We continue in the Gemara. So, a question which basically sounds repetitive in nature, considering the Gemara's discussion that we just had. Let's say you shecht the kifse atzeres correctly, you do the zrika shalol lishman incorrectly. Oh, so alechem ma'u ba'achila. Can we eat the shtei alechem now? Ali b'daman. So the Gemara says, okay, but now we're armed with a lot of information. We know about the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. According to Rebbe, kadosh v'eino kadosh. According to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, it does not have kedusha seguf. We also know that within the shita of Rebbe, there's a machlokes abai and rava in terms of what that means, kadosh v'eino kadosh. So we're armed with a lot of information. So when you're asking a question like this, so now we need the proper context. Aliba daman, I aliba de Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, hamar zrikahi de mekacha. So according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, it's a no-brainer. The question's a non-starter. If you didn't do the zrika correctly, so then the bread is imbued with no kedusha seguf. Of course, the kohanim wouldn't be allowed to eat it. And he aliba the Rebbe ben Labai ben Larava kadosh ve'eino nitar. Who? Now, according to Rebbe, also it's kind of a no-brainer. Meaning, although Rebbe is of the opinion that the bread is imbued with kedusha, but that's only partial kedusha seguf. According to neither position of Abai and Rava within their understanding of Rebbe, are you allowed to actually eat the shtei alechem? So the Gemara is basically saying, so now that we have all this information in our hands, so who are you asking the question according to? So first the Gemara says, Aliba the high time. So the Gemara says, okay, left field. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a brisa out of left field, and maybe the question is within this brisa. This brisa, let's say you have the shtei alechem that was taken out of the azara between the shechting of the kifsei atzeres and the sprinkling of the blood of the kifsei atzeres. V'zarek damen shel kvasim chutz lizmanan. And under those circumstances now, under this particular scenario, then what the Kohen did is sprinkled the blood, and he did so with a machshava of pigel. Chutz lizmano. Rabbi Eliezer, Amei Ein Belechem Mishum Pigel. Now, the bread is already disqualified, meaning we already have a psul of Yotze on the bread. Again, I say the psul of Yotze knowing that just a moment ago we had this discussion of whether, in fact, the bread between Shechita and Zrikas Adam is going to be imbued with any kind of Kedusha Zergof. But still, there is already a psul in the bread. So now, is the bread also going to be subject to Pigel? So Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that ein belechem mishum pigel, that although there is a machshavas pigel on the carbon, on the animal, but not on the bread. And Rabbi Kiva amar yesh belechem mishum pigel. And Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that there will be a psul of pigel on the bread as well. Now, what we see now within this braisa is at least the basis for a discussion that certainly, even though the shechita was done correctly, the zrika was not done correctly, but still we are having a discussion of whether or not the breads will be subject to pigel. So you see, at least according to one Tana, we can at least entertain a discussion that maybe if we're saying that the bread is going to be subject to pigel, so maybe had the bread not been pigel, at least there would have been some possibility of eating the shtei alechem. I'm Rav Shisha Tani Tanai Karebi Sfir Lehu. So Rav Shisha says, no, that's not really what's going on over here. Let's start off with the following. In the braisa that we just learned together, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer, their starting part is like Rabbi. Rabbi says that once you do the shechita correctly, you have imbued partial kedusha seguf into the shtei alechem. Now, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, so he's consistent with his general approach, which is that sprinkling of the blood will not influence any part of the carbon that's outside of the Azara. And Rabbi Kiva Latami Damar Zrika Malas Liyotze. And Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says that no, that the Zrika Sadam will in fact influence anything that was taken out of the Azara. Did not a Mishnah. We have seen this Mishnah before. This Mishnah already appeared back in Zvachim. The Mishnah is in Me'ilah. We're on the very top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Imur Kachim Kalim Shiatz Lifnei Zrikas Damim. If I have the Imurim of a Shlamim that was taken out of the Azara before the blood was sprinkled. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ein Mo'alim Ba'as. Rabbi Eliezer basically says, nothing changes. Meaning, the Zrika that you do for any of the animal that's outside of the Azara will not influence it at all. In Mo'alim Bahem, it's not going to be subject to Mila. Remember that by a Shlamim, the Imurim of the Shlamim could be subject to Mi'ila, but only after you Shecht a Shlamim. But over here, because the Imurim are outside of the Azara, will not be affected. In Chayav Malamishim Pikul Nosef Etameh, it cannot be affected by any of the Psulim of neither Pikul Nosef Etameh, meaning simply the Zrika will not affect it at all. Rabbi Kiva Amar Mo'alim Bahen, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that it will be subject to Mila, and Chayav L'mishim Pikul Nosef Etameh. So, fine. So the Gemara now is suggesting like this. So the Braisa you just quoted, the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, that is all about the starting point, like we hold like Shita Rabbi, that when you Shech the Kivsei Atzeres, the Shtei Alechem are imbued with partial Kedusha, and then it just simply turns into the classic debate of, will Zrika influence and affect any part of the Karban when it's outside of the Azara? So my, midizrika's pigol, kaval alechem bepigol, biyotze kebasar, zrika shalolishma nami shayilel alechem. And now the Gemara says, good. So now that we're here within this explanation, so basically we're saying like this. So look what just happened. So, when I do a zrika of pigol, so now the bread will become mifugal, and it will just like the meat of the animal. So maybe zrika shalolishma nami shayilel alechem. So maybe if I do a zrika shalolishma, so maybe now the bread will in fact be allowed to be eaten if the bread were inside the azara. Odim lechumra amina lekula lo amina. Or the Gemara says no. Meaning, yeah, we'll treat the bread like it's part and parcel of the animal. But that's only lechumra. That's only to give it the status of the disqualifications that we just described. But not so far to say that we're going to actually allow it to be consumed and to be eaten. Okay, so that is right now the approach of Rav Sheshit within the Braisa. Maskal Rapapo Mimai Dechi Isnu Avrai Pligi Dilma Bid Isnu Avrai Dekulamalo Pligi. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe as far as this particular brace is concerned, maybe if it were outside, there'd be no debate whatsoever. The Zrika is not going to affect it whatsoever. It's not going to influence it whatsoever. Over Hadailina Pligi. The only debate over here is as follows. We took it outside after Shechita. We brought it back inside. The Rebbe Eliezer Savalaka Rebbe Damar Shechita Mekad Shaviv Solu Biyotze. Where Rebbe Eliezer may be subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe, which is, well, I shechted it. It received partial Kedusha Saguf. You take it outside of the Azara, Yotze. Disqualified the Psil of Yotze. And Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon, Dabra Shechit Lom, Mekashav Lom, Mifsil of Yotze. And maybe Rebbe Akiva is taking the viewpoint that after Shechita, the Shtei Alechem does not have Kedusha Saguf, and it will only have Kedusha Saguf when you do both the Shechita and the Zrika correctly. And so therefore, if after Shechita, the Shtei Alechem was taken outside the Azara, no big deal. Because the only time it's a big deal is only if it has Kedusha Saguf. But if Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's not imbued with Kedusha Saguf, and therefore, it would be fine if taken out between Shechita and Zrika. My. So the Gemara says, hi, my. The Gemara says, nah. No, I don't really think that's the way to explain the machlokas. Imar Bishlama Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Svirle Damashita Mekadesh Elohu. So the Gemara says no. It made a lot more sense when we had Rabbi Kiva lining up with the opinion of Rabbi that with Shechita you've imbued it with some kedusha zaguf. Hainu Dekam Rabbi Kiva Dekash Lo B'Shechita Va'asiyaz Rika Kavlo B'Pigol. Because then I can totally understand where Shechita some kedusha zaguf. Machshavas Pigol for the Zrika is going to give it the status of pigol. But for a moment, let's all just imagine that Rabbi Kiva subscribes to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, where Shechita imbues it with no Kiddushos Aguf. So now, Da'amar Zvichala Mekacha, Zrikas Pigol, Mi Mekadisha. So now, we are leaning really heavily on the Zrika, where now we need the Zrika to A, imbue with Kiddushos Aguf, and B, give it the status of Pigol. That's a lot. So the Gemara says, what about the statement of Rav Gidol Amarav? Where Rav Gidol Amarav says, now I'm not explaining every detail of his point, but I'm just explaining it succinctly, which is, you can't lean that heavily on Zrika. A Zrika by itself cannot infuse a carbon with Kedushas Aguf and also give it a status of pigel. That can all happen just in the Zrika. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, so we were much better off explaining that the Machlokas of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer was both within the position of Rabbi, that with the Shechita you did imbue it with some Kedushas Aguf, allowing then the Zrika Saddam to give it the status of pigel. But if you want to tell me that Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that Shechita imbues it with no Kedushas Aguf, and now I need the Zrika to both give it Kedushas Aguf and give it the status of pigel, that's just simply too far. So the Gemara says, V'lavi susa de Rav Gidol. The Gemara says, yeah, but, if you go back to Masechet Me'ilah, when I say back, I mean forward, but when you go ahead to Masechet Me'ilah, that statement of Rav Gidol Amarav, that went challenged, and Rav Gidol Amarav's position ended up being debunked. So the Gemara says, so it's not outlandish, it's not out of this world to suggest that Zrika can do all that. It can both give it a Kedushas Aguf, and on top of that, it can also give it a pigel status. Okay, let's quickly recap. We're gonna pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with the question of Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Okay. By the way, I'll admit, challenging daf today. Not an easy daf today. Okay. But really one singular topic over the course of today's daf. Yeah. We know that the shtei alechem are imbued with kedushas aguf. One in conjunction with the kivsei atzeres. You shecht the kivsei atzeres correctly. You sprinkle the blood of the kivsei atzeres correctly. So then the shtei alechem are imbued with the kedushas aguf. That part's easy. If I do neither correctly, neither Shechita and Zrika, the Shtei Alechem are not imbued with Kedushas Aguf, and that part's also easy. The remainder of today's daf, which really started almost in the beginning of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and it went all the way to where we got to, is what happens if the Shechita was done correctly, Lishma, and the Zrika was done not correctly, Shelo Lishma. Now what happens with the Shtei Alechem? Are they imbued with Kedusha? So the two positions that we learned in the beginning of today's daf, Rebbe, partial Kedushas Aguf. What that means? Machlokes Abaye and Rava. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, no Kedushas Aguf until the Zrika is done correctly. And then, really, what the rest of the daf is dedicated to was a fleshing out of these two positions, the sources of these two positions, the nafkamina between these two positions. The Gemara entertained the discussion of maybe you can eat the Shtei Alechem, but the Gemara can't wrap its head around that question. If it's not imbued with total Kedushas Aguf, so then for sure, eating it wouldn't be a possibility. The Gemara tried to make a suggestion in terms of how we can even entertain the discussion of eating the Shtei Alechem under those circumstances. A machlokas we saw on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, a question of whether or not that debate is predicated on the debate of Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, or no, do both of them hold like Rabbi? The Gemara favored the position that they both held like Rabbi, and that Shechita gives it some Kedushas Aguf, and then the Zrika, with the Machshav of Pigol, will that influence and will that affect it and give it the status of Pigol, yes or no? And so the Gemara favored that they both were operating within the Shita of Rebbe. We'll stop here, and tomorrow morning we'll pick it up.